The following is a home program on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 55, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 22, 2009, in Sydney, Australia.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 55. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Etavan devalokesmin Pungsa svarata parasmrita Ekanta bhaktir govinde Ekanta bhakti govinde Yatsarvatra tadikshanam Yatsarvatra tadikshanam. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere, is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained in the revealed scriptures, purport. In this verse, the words sarvatra tad ikshanam describe the highest perfection of devotional service, in which one sees everything with reference to Govinda's activities. The highly elevated devotee never sees anything unrelated to Govinda. Stavara jangama deke nadeke taramurti sarvatra hayanija ishta deva spurti. The Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not actually see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. CC Majja 8274. Even in this material world, a devotee does not see materially manifested things. Instead, he sees Govinda in everything. When he sees a tree or a human being, a devotee sees them in relation to Govinda. Govinda Madhipurusham. Govinda is the original source of everything. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchirananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. The test of a perfect devotee is that he sees Govinda everywhere in this universe, even in every atomic particle. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. This is the perfect vision of a devotee. It is therefore said, Narayanam ayang dhira poshyanti paramartinaha jagaddanamayam lubdha kamaka kamaniyamayam. The devotee sees everyone and everything in relationship with Narayan, Narayanam Ayam. Everything is an expansion of Narayan's energy. Just as those who are greedy see everything as a source of money-making, and those who are lusty see everything as being conducive to sex, the most perfect devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, saw Narayan even within a stone column. This does not mean, however, that we must accept the words Daridra Narayan, which have been manufactured by some unscrupulous person. One who actually envisions Narayan everywhere makes no distinction between the poor and the rich. To single out Daridra Narayans or poor Narayan, and reject the Dhani Narayan, or the rich Narayan, is not the vision of a devotee. Rather, that is the imperfect vision of materialistic persons. And thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the seventh canto, seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatam Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, this is the vision of the Mahabhagavat. He sees everything, but he doesn't just see that thing. Not that he's blind. If he's crossing the street, he's not able to look for the cars. That he just sees Vrindavan everywhere. He doesn't see the traffic and he's getting hit by a car or something like that. Or he's at the airport and he can't get on the airplane because all he can see is Krishna everywhere. He has no idea where his flight is because all he sees is Krishna. It's not like that. He sees the material energy. But at the same time, he sees the source of the material energy. You see? Aham sravasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti madva bhujante bang buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So he sees everything in relationship with Krishna. Therefore, his vision is perfect. He does not see anything as separated from Krishna. Therefore, he's not lusty, you see. Lusty means you see something as separate from Krishna that I can enjoy, you see. Just like that rascal, Ravana. As soon as he heard about Sita, immediately became very lusty. I want to enjoy that woman, you see. The Mahabhagavat, he's completely free from any lusty tendency in the heart. Because he sees everything belongs to Krishna, and his happiness is to engage everything in Krishna's service. This is the Mahabhagavat. As I was quoting this morning, Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvancha mayi pashyati tashahang na pranashyami satchamena pranashyati. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 30, Krishna says, For one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So how do we struggling neophytes cultivate this vision? That's the real question. I mean, it sounds pretty good, you know, to be able to have that kind of vision. I mean, it sounds pretty ecstatic, you know, like you'd be spiritually on a pretty high level, you know, really relishing the nectar up there and beyond the modes of nature, you know. So how do us struggling neophytes get there? And this is a pretty important question. Actually, Prabhupada ordered me to get there. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So how do we get there? From point A to point B, you see. It's interesting, the first time I was blessed to be in Prabhupada's presence, you know, physically speaking, spiritually, that's all another story, but first time I was physically in Prabhupada's presence, he gave the most wonderful lecture. This was to thousands of hippies at the Ratha Yatra Festival in San Francisco in 1971. He said, actually, you're all seeing God. Because Krishna says, I am the light of the sun. Now just consider, of course, there's a little electricity to help out here. But even without that light, you see, this room would be very illuminated because of the sunlight. So actually, we are seeing Krishna even now in the form of the sunlight. See, if it wasn't for the sunlight, I could not see you. You see? So even a neophyte, even non-devotee, he's seeing Krishna because Krishna is the light of the sun. It is that power of Krishna that allows him to see everything. So actually, even the non-devotee is seeing Krishna. So the question is then, how are you seeing Krishna? That's the difference between the Mahabhagavat and the neophyte or even the non-devotee. How are you seeing Krishna? That's the difference. Prabhupada gives a very poignant example in this connection. How many of you here are auto mechanics, know how to get into an engine and tear it apart and fix it? I'm certainly not. Any qualified mechanics here? Who just feel at home with their hands all greasy and dirty in the engine parts? None of us here. All right. So I think everybody can relate to this example, you see. You're stuck on the side of the freeway, right? And your engine doesn't... You lift up the hood and you look at it. I mean, you can see the engine, but, you know, you can't really see how to fix it. But then you call the repair place, and they come out, and the mechanic, he's looking at the engine also. But when he looks at it, he can see, oh, and it starts, you see. So you're both seeing the engine. But our seeing and the seeing of that qualified mechanic, it is quite different, you see. So Prabhupada explains in this connection, everyone is seeing God, because everything is Krishna's energy, you see. There is nothing non-Krishna actually that exists anywhere. There's nothing non-Krishna. Because everything is his expanded energy. But the vision of the Mahabhagavat and the vision of the struggling neophytes like us, you see, is quite different. So, it is a simple process, how we can gradually, or another way of looking at it is, actually we're all seeing Krishna, but the Mahabhagavat, he's got Krishna in focus. We don't. We're seeing Krishna, but we're seeing him out of focus. We're just seeing his external energy right now. But when our vision gets clarified and focused, then we will actually see that original form. So, what is the process of focusing the consciousness? That is wonderfully described by Brahmanji. Preman janachorito bhakti valochanena Santaksadaivirhidayeshuvalokayanti Yangsha Mushunja Ramachant Yoganasvarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. When your eyes become anointed with that salve, that ointment known as Premanjana, the ointment of love of God, and you can see Krishna everywhere within and without. Well, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Where do we get some? Can I get a tube down at the corner chemist shop? It's actually interesting that our founder, Acharya, he was formerly a chemist. Pharmaceutical businessman before he started ISKCON, you see. That was his livelihood for grihastha life, you see. Pharmaceutical business. So actually, our ISKCON is also a pharmaceutical business. All the products of the pharmacy were dropped except for one product, and that's Premanjana. This is the pharmacy where you get Premanjana. You can get the ointment of love of God to anoint the eyes. So how do we anoint? What is that technique? Normally you maybe put a little here in the corner of the eye, then blink, you know. That's one of the techniques for getting ointment in the eyes. Hold your head back, go like this in the corner, and then let it, and then blink, and it spreads. That's one technique. But this technique is you take what is known as Shabda Brahma, or the transcendental topics of Krishna, Krishna Katha. You take it submissively. That means you're not analyzing it, trying to take it apart, find fault with it, you see. With an open heart, you just take it in as deeply as you can through the ears into the heart. And by that deep absorption in Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound vibration, the deeper it goes, the more power it has to purify everything. Your hearing, your vision, your taste, your smell, your sense of touch, every sense becomes purified. So it's the key is Shravanam. Enthusiastic hearing. Whenever the topics of Krishna are being discussed by pure devotees, pure means those who are strictly following the previous acharyas, not introducing some new thing that Prabhupada didn't give, but those who were strictly preaching according to what Prabhupada taught, you see. It could be anyone. A man, a woman, a sannyasi, a grihastha, even a child, it doesn't matter. The topic, anyone who is purely presenting the topic as it is coming down from the previous acharyas, whenever there is such discussion going on, we should be very, very eager to hear. Because by that eagerness to hear such discussion, we become transformed. Every time we hear, we become a little bit more transformed, a little bit more transformed, a little bit more transformed. It's something that grows on you. If we regularly engage in hearing from pure devotees, it just gets a little bit, it just keeps expanding. You see, little bit, little bit, little bit. And it finally reaches the point where the dirt in the heart is cleansed away and the spiritual world opens up within your heart. Prabhupada explains there's a mystic television within the heart where you can actually see Krishna's pastimes going on. So, I mean, who wants to waste time at some ridiculous cinema? When you can go to a cinema right here and see the live pastimes of Radha and Krishna happening right now in Goloka Vrindavan. I mean, who want to waste their time with watching, the Olympics on television? You can actually see the live pastimes of Krishna happening within your heart. You see. So, this is the process. It's the most amazing process of transforming the consciousness from temporality, ignorance, and misery to eternality, knowledge, and bliss. It's the most amazing process. It's called Krishna consciousness. Perhaps you have heard that name, Krishna consciousness. Yes, it is a wonderful process, Krishna consciousness. And if we will follow the standard instructions given by Srila Prabhupada, then we will grow in Krishna consciousness gradually until that day when we become Mahabhagavat. Each one of us become Mahabhagavat. Prabhupada wants that we should become all Mahabhagavat. Gradually, see, Kanishta, Majjam, Bhagavan. We are all meant to evolve to the highest platform, where we can see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
I was just thinking about if you can tell a little bit about the importance of taking prasadam, because I'm just sitting here thinking that in my own life that I get very busy and I have work and children and everything, and the one thing I wish I could change is a lot of things we buy like bread and so on aren't prasadam, you know, they're just bought from the shop, biscuits and cookies. Mm-hmm. And is it okay?
Here's the easy thing, get a bread machine. I remember we stayed with one couple in the UK, and you know they had a little tiny UK style apartment, and it was so small. They both had to head out for work in the morning, but they had their routine down before they took rest in the night. A bread machine is great for devotees. They just throw the ingredients in before they take rest. In the morning they wake up, they got fresh hot bread every day. I mean, it's a matter of a little bit of planning, you know. And then another cool thing you can do, you know, 1 weekend a month, I'll even email you the recipe. If you email me, I'll email you back with Radhadamodar Super Granola. You can make your own granola. Why buy these Karmi cereals, you know, Cheerios and I don't know what they call them now. Cheerios and Puerios or whatever. You know, Sugar Smacks, I don't know, all this stuff, but you can make a cereal which is 100 times better than your kids will love it. You can make such incredibly delicious granola, much better than you can buy in the health food store. It's not difficult, it's easy to make, easy recipe. You can get a big plastic thing, and once a month you can make it, or you can have a few varieties, you know, for different days of the week. You know, today we'll have this type of granola, tomorrow I'll have that type. You can have the most wonderful gourmet granola. I mean, some devotee could take this recipe and make a business out of it. You know? Govinda's gourmet granola on the internet. You know? But, you can have fantastic granola. It's just a matter of planning, intelligent planning, you know. A little bit of vision, a little bit of time and energy. But the rewards are phenomenal. I mean, you can make your own ice cream, you know. It's not difficult. For special occasions, you know, instead of buying some Karmi ice cream. It's 100 times better than anything you can get out there at old Baskin Robbins. You know, your own homemade ice cream, it's fantastic. We make it on like Janmashtami for Radhadamodar, you know. Mango ice cream, oh. So yeah, it's just a matter of a little bit of planning. You can make any much better than you can get at the store. And Krishna will very much appreciate, oh, they have personally made this for me. And he'll just pour his bhakti shakti into that bread, that granola, that ice cream, or whatever you want to make, pizza. And, you know, and your whole family would be, they wouldn't dare think of eating outside ever again, you know. And that we don't like that outside food. Mom, we like what you make. There's nothing like it. Yeah. So in this way, You know, it's a matter of a little bit of planning, getting a few good recipes here and there. Any other questions? And of course, they say eating is the way to a man's... the stomach is the way to a man's heart. Yeah. So that's how you can... by feeding people prasadam on your family members, that's how you can get them very nicely situated on the pathway back to Godhead. So it's a very important thing. Sometimes it is called, this movement is called the kitchen religion. You see? Because by cooking you can capture someone's heart. By cooking very nicely with love, you can capture someone's heart. Prabhupada captured us with his cooking. In the beginning, Prabhupada did the cooking. Can you imagine eating the vishadam cooked by Prabhupada? Devotees were just completely intoxicated by Prabhupada's cooking. Any other questions? Yeah?
What's it really going to take to go back to Godhead? What's it really going to take to go back to Godhead?
What does it really take to go back to Godhead in this lifetime?
Yes. Well, if you just... Prabhupada assured us if we would just give this one lifetime this fully in the service of this movement... And even if we were lacking something, Krishna would cover for it. I would really say, in one word, sincerity. I mean, on the one hand, Prabhupada said, unless you're completely pure, you can't go back to Godhead. I mean, I just had a very dear disciple who just passed away a couple of days ago in the U.S. And I wrote a little thing to his mother, his... not a devotee mother, but I very much appreciating this woman for raising such a son who was a very, very saintly boy who went through a very hellish thing, being robbed and beaten, and he was very badly damaged from the beating the bandits gave him, and it caused permanent damage to his brain, and it's very difficult. He never was able to heal from it. And finally he passed on, but it was actually a relief. I was happy. I felt it was a blessing that he had left his body. He was going through so much hell. Very bad situation. But in the little thing I wrote to his mother, which was actually read in the funeral, the devotees very much appreciated it. I said that if he was not completely purified of all material desires, then Krishna has blessed him with a very, very auspicious situation where he can continue his process of purification. Or if he was completely purified, he's with Krishna in the spiritual world right now. So either way, it's auspicious. See, it's not that we have to go back to Godhead to be nicely situated. As long as we're on the path solidly of perfection, it's auspicious in either case. To be, just imagine being born in a family of pure devotees, you know, who are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That is also a very auspicious thing. So, the thing is to sincerely endeavor for pure devotion. Sincerely endeavor to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Then leave it up to Krishna. I can do whatever you want, my Lord. But don't we pray? Janme, Janme, Prabhu say, you are my Lord, birth after birth. Our desire is that we want to be engaged in pure devotional service. Sometimes they say, well, if I desire to go back to Godhead, is that okay? I mean, of course it is. Prabhupada told us we should qualify ourselves to go back to Godhead. But what is the actual qualification for going back to Godhead? Pure devotion. So pure devotion means that Krishna, do with me as you like. If you want me to take birth again, that's okay. Want me to come to Golok, that's okay. Whatever you like, I am your puppet, do with me as you like. Prabhupada taught us that move in his arrival prayer. Now I am your, I am a puppet in your hands, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. So that's the move. Krishna, do whatever you like to with me. You see. That is the mood that qualifies us to go back to Godhead. No, I have to go back to Godhead. I can't. This material world is so horrible. I just cannot come back. I have to go back. That's not really the mood. The mood is, Krishna, I'm all yours. Do whatever you want to with me. That's the mood. That qualifies us to go back to Godhead. That mood. Actually, that mood, if we're in that mood, we're already back to God. Even walking around Sydney, we're already back to God. Prabhupada said that the pure devotee, he is always living in Vrindavan. You see. And we saw that in Prabhupada. So if we have that completely detached mood, my dear Lord, I just do whatever you want to with me for all of eternity. I'm willing to stay here for millions of births. It doesn't matter. Whatever I can do to serve you is fine with me. Then actually we're already back to Godhead if we're in that mood. We don't have to worry about going back to Godhead because I'm already there. We'll already feel we're there, fully absorbed in Krishna. You see. So the best thing is how I can be back to Godhead right here, right now, this very minute. How I can be in the Godhead mood, you see. That's the real thing. Because that's the perfect training to actually go back to Godhead at the time of death, to be in the back to Godhead mood right here, right now, at every second. Like that Mayavadi, he said, be here now. We take that in Krishna consciousness also. Let me be completely surrendered to Krishna right here, right now. That's what it means to be here now. Really be here now. So that mood, Krishna, I'm yours, just do with me whatever you want, I don't care, I'm just, whatever I can do to please you, even if I have to, like the gopis said, even if, we don't care if we have to go to hell, just let Krishna's headache be cured. That's that mood of the, that's an easy one, just remember the mood of the gopis. They're willing to go to hell to cure Krishna's headache. That's the qualification to go back to Godhead. Any other, did that answer your question? Any other question?
Yes, Maharaj. When, you're sort of like single or you don't have children, you have more opportunity to do direct service at the temple and things like that. And then, once you have children, you have less time, and then, all of a sudden, you sort of like, in a way, you slip off a bit from.
No, you have to take it this way. Now, I've been promoted. Now I'm the temple president. Grihastha means now you're on. Now you have to make your own house also the temple. You see, you're the temple president. View it as an opportunity to become even more Krishna conscious. I have to make sure that my wife is always happy in Krishna consciousness, you see. I have to make sure that my children are plugged into Krishna consciousness, not by my by my example. That's the real thing, you see. That this we all know that we should all become acharyas, right? I mean that we're supposed to become acharyas, but being a parent is a great opportunity. Because if you're really going to be a good Krishna conscious parent, you have to become an acharya. Otherwise, you're murdering your own children. You have to be an ideal example of Krishna consciousness. 24 hours a day. In all times, places, and circumstances. Because they're seeing you in every situation. Not that, well, at the temple I can make a show, you know, I can put on my tilak, my dhoti, and yeah, I'm an ideal devotee. When I get home, you know, I got this other mood. And no, you have to, the kids are seeing everything. They're more conscious and more aware of what's going on than we can even imagine. So the subtle things, they can pick up everything. So you really have to be an acharya when you're a householder. You really got to follow the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur if you want to do it right. And if you can do it right, you'll have a powerful impact on the whole planet, actually. We need ideal acharyas. Ideal grahasthas. Ideal grahasthas are the most powerful weapon we have for pushing for this movement, actually. Because the brahmacharyas, they're giving the theory, you know, in the books, out there preaching. But who can actually demonstrate? That's the grihastha. Because the whole society is grihastha. So the most powerful preachers are not the sannyasis, not the brahmacharis. The most powerful preachers are the grihasthas who are showing the ideal household life by their example. They're the most powerful preachers on this, in our movement. Those who are actually doing it properly. Raising their children to become pure devotees. Who don't, use the cartoons as a easy, cheap babysitter. You know, Bugs Bunny. They don't raise their children in Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner consciousness because it's an easy, cheap babysitter. They take the time and trouble to give the children the time they want. The children want the parents' time, so that means you engage, you bond with them by doing bhakti together. They want your association, so do bhakti together with them. I remember my wife, Vishnupriya Manaji, she very wonderfully trained one of my disciples how to raise his son. He would come to the temple on the Sunday program to cut the vegetables. He would get a little dull knife and a little tiny cutting board, and the little baby, he's also cutting, doing his own so-called cutting the vegetables. Instead of running around romper room, you know, playing, just, you know, running around, the child is learning that Bhakti devotional service is recreation. It's fun. Go to the kitchen, cut vegetables, do the services, clean the plates. And as he was growing up, he was doing every service. When they would make my plate after, for the feast, they make special plate for the spiritual master. So the little boy, he would supervise the making of my plate. My father, you missed that item. And then he would wash the plates after it was over and grab all the maha for himself. So now he's about 6 years old, I think. And if he's around other kids and they want to watch television, he just walks away. He wants nothing to do with it. It's like garbage for him. So, and this, the parents just took the time and trouble, and the father would come every day for Bhagavatam class and bring the boy. That's the other thing. The other trick is every time there was a lecture, the boy would be there in the lap when he was real small. And then when he grew up, he'd have to sit beside, you know, sit like a yogi, sit straight. In fact, I used to help him also, but sit like a yogi. He would sit in front. So the boy was trained to sit and hear whenever, and he asked, he would memorize verses just by hearing him in the lectures. He could quote shlokas just by hearing him in the lecture, Sanskrit and English both. Little tiny kid, what, he was about 3 years old at the time. That one verse he was quoting, Matra Sparsha Shtakonteya. What age was he when he quoted it? 3 or 4 years old. He was Sometimes we engage the children in chanting the verses for Janmashtami, a little chorus, you know, they go through one chapter. But after it's over, they forget him, and if you ask him to explain the meaning, they... But this boy, in context of a certain situation, was explaining his consciousness in a certain situation in quoting Shastra to further explain his consciousness in a particular situation. Sanskrit and English, but at the age of 3 or 4. So it's actually amazing. It can be very mystical, raising children. If you really seriously take it up in the mood of like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, congratulations on being the temple president. How many children do you have?
One.
That's a pretty big temple. Now you have all success. Okay, any other questions?
Srila Gurudev, you told that by hearing from the ear, then it assimilates in the heart and becomes...
Yeah, if we hear submissively, yeah.
But the thing is, the scientists and the other people, how can we convince them? They may say that... the ear is not connected to the heart, and how this all happens.
Oh, scientifically?
Yes, scientifically.
We're speaking, I'm not talking of the physical heart, I'm talking of your consciousness, your psyche. In that sense, I'm speaking of the heart. Not the physical chamber of the heart. Although the psyche is located there. Because the Atma, according to the Vedas, the Atma is floating in 5 different kinds of life airs in the heart. So your psyche is actually here in the heart. It's interesting, you can ask people, you know, point to your nose, point to your ear, point to your foot, point to yourself. Where do they point? Right here. Because that's where the Atma is actually. People intuitively will point right here. They won't point here. They'll point here. Because that's where the Atma is actually located. Floating in 5 kinds of life years. Mm-hmm.
I have noticed that people are pointing like
this. We all have this sense that I am, this is me, here I am. Everyone has that sense. So yeah, it's the psyche, your consciousness, deep within your consciousness. Any other questions? So everyone's now satisfied. Feeling enthusiastic now to cultivate that pure bhakti.
In Krishna consciousness, we talk about rendering service, but at the same time we have the mood of enjoying everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just enjoyment comes first, and then we austerity. So how to overcome that?
Well, it's a matter of intelligence. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to enjoy. I mean, but you have to be intelligent about it to know how to maximize it. Just like there was an experiment done with some little children, and the children were told, "You can, whoever wants a piece of candy can have one right now. Whoever is willing to wait for, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, hold off on that impulse, wait 15 minutes, and you'll get 2 pieces of candy." Most of the kids wanted that one piece immediately. But a few of them were a little intelligent, and they just kind of tolerated while the other kids were enjoying their candy, you know. They kind of, you know, gutted it out because they knew they were going to get 2 pieces. And then a study was done of those same exact children many years later down the road, like, you know, after they got out of college and all that. Those children who who didn't give in to the impulse to get the one piece of candy immediately, they were much more successful, much more peaceful, etc. later in life. This is a very telling point, you see. In Prabhupada's teaching, this is called Shreya and Preya. One who wants that impulse gratified immediately, who can't wait, that's called Preya. One who is willing to postpone the gratification for a greater reward in the future, that's called Shreya. So, we want enjoyment. We can grab it now, whatever is available, if we want. Or if we understand there's greater reward for not giving into that impulse, holding off, and getting a bigger reward down the road, you see, we have our choice. We have our choice. So are we going to be like that impulsive kid who goes to the one piece of candy up front? Are we going to be like a kid who is willing to wait 15 minutes for two pieces of candy? We have a choice. Every one of us has that choice. Do I want to be impulsive, or am I willing to be restrained, a little restrained, to get something much better down the road? You see, Krishna consciousness means I'm willing to restrain myself. Material consciousness means impulse. If the senses want it, I have to give it immediately, as soon as possible. I'm a loyal servant of my senses. You see. What Krishna consciousness means, the senses are screaming, nonsenses. Just wait, because you'll get something much better. Be a little patient. Be a little patient. You'll get something much better if you hold off. So those children, they had faith in the words of the adult who told them they would get two pieces of candy 15 minutes later if they withstood the urge to take that one immediate piece of candy. You see? Does that answer your question?
I do not know if I presented it properly.
All right, we'll try again.
My question was, I do not know if it was clear enough.
Mm.
So I'll have to think about it more, and then I'll
ask. All right. Does anybody else have questions?
My son is Pranil. He would often ask me a question. If somebody is doing bad thing, why can't God stop them up front?
Why doesn't God stop the bad?
Yeah, why doesn't God stop doing the bad things?
Why doesn't God stop them from doing the bad things?
Yes.
Yes, yes, actually Krishna has come to stop the bad things. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya sadushkritam. Krishna has come in the form of this Krishna consciousness movement to put a stop to the evil on this planet. Yes. Therefore, it is our duty as the servants of this movement to preach very vigorously, distribute these books of Prabhupada, to distribute the holy names, distribute prasadam, because by the distribution of this Krishna consciousness movement, the evil will stop.
Evil will stop.
Yeah. So we're asking you, father and son both.
Yeah, because they would often ask me a story every night. They say, tell us a story. And I tell them stories about, you know, demons, about devils, how Krishna came, and you know, how Ramas came.
Well, you can tell that Krishna has come again now as the Hare Krishna movement for the purpose of annihilating the demoniac mentality which is pervading this planet right now. Yes. I just gave an initiation the other day to a very nice boy here in Sydney. And we gave him the name Shatrughna, which means enemy killer.
Yeah.
Shatrughna. Bhakti Steve is now Shatrughna. So, our mission is we want to kill these enemies which have infected the hearts of men throughout the whole planet. Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. These six enemies are what make people do bad things. You see. So this Hare Krishna mantra, it is a very powerful mechanism for cleansing the hearts of all human beings of the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion, the envy. So Krishna has appeared in the form of the Hare Krishna mantra to put a stop to the evil. Therefore, you should chant Hare Krishna as much as possible. Because the more you chant Hare Krishna, then Krishna is putting more and more of a break on the evil in this planet. So tell your son that he can help Krishna to stop, to defeat the evil by chanting Hare Krishna as much as possible every day. Get him some beads.
Sure.
And say the more mala you do, the more the evil will go away. And we thank him very much that he wants to see the evil go away. Thank you very much. Okay, any other questions? Yes.
What really is the aim of our life?
What is the aim of our life in reality?
To be happy, isn't it? To enjoy. Well, isn't that the Vedic Anandamaya Vyasa? The constitutional nature of everyone is to enjoy. You see? So, since enjoyment is what you're seeking, then you should be intelligent to find out how to maximize your enjoyment. That is called Krishna consciousness. Because when you can satisfy Krishna, you will enjoy equally with the Supreme Enjoyer Himself, God. The greatest enjoyer is Krishna, but greater still is His devotee. That's why Krishna had to become Lord Chaitanya. He saw that Radharani is getting more pleasure than me. Why I should play second fiddle to Radharani? He said. She's getting more nectar than I am, so I'm envious. I want that nectar too. So he becomes Lord Chaitanya to get the nectar, to taste the nectar of being a devotee. So the actual goal of existence is enjoyment. So you have to know how to get the greatest enjoyment. That is becoming devotee of Krishna. That is the greatest enjoyment. Questions more? Yes.
Unconditional.
Unconditional love.
Was some extra comment?
Unconditional.
Yes. Love means unconditional. If it's conditional, it's called lust. So how does one develop unconditional love or pure love for all living beings? It is very simple, as Prabhupada has explained to us many times. When you water the root of a tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. So, if you can, love Krishna. If you can reawaken your dormant love of Krishna through the process of sadhana bhakti, then naturally you will develop love for all living entities, seeing them all as Krishna's beloved children. If you love the father, naturally you love all of his kids. So we simply have to see, find the ways and means to develop our love for Krishna. So how does one fall in love anyway? You know, through association. You can hear about a person, you can see the person, you can experience the person, serve the person. Different types of association, many different ways of associating, you can fall in love by hearing about those person's activities, seeing their form, pictures of their form, etc., etc. The feelings of love become awakened. So instead of meditating on some movie star, developing a crush on some movie star, you see. We can meditate on Krishna. We can hear about his activities, we can see his form, we can see the deity, we can engage in serving him in his deity form, we can serve his representatives, the devotees. In these ways, that natural love of Krishna, which is dormant in the heart at this time, that love will become revived. And once that love of Krishna is there, automatically you will love all living entities. Just try to learn how to love Krishna. And then all other loves will come along with that automatically. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all other things shall be added unto you, including the desired universal love. That's one way to do it. The other way is go out and preach. Shivat books, make devotees. See, there's, you can go from many different angles. You can work it from this end, you can work, it's like you want a candle to be exhausted, you can light it at both ends. So you can develop, you can cultivate love for Krishna through deity worship, through chanting Hare Krishna mantra, through meditating on his beautiful form like you have there. You see? Deeply absorbing that form, taking it deep into your heart by meditation, that beautiful Govinda. You see? Gopal. That's one way. The other thing is you can engage others in Krishna consciousness, preaching. Then you're directly doing merciful activities to help that person become reconnected with Krishna. So that's another good way. Engaging others in Krishna's service, directly doing loving activities towards other living beings in relation with Krishna. So if you... either way, in fact, the best thing is do both things. That's why we have a time for sadhana and we have a time for preaching and practical service. Does that answer your question a little bit? Any other questions? Everyone's satisfied? Everyone's happy, feeling blissful, ecstatic. Krishna consciousness means ecstatic. If you're not ecstatic, you're not Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness means ecstatic. Wow, this is great. Tasting the nectar, drinking the nectar within your heart. That's Krishna consciousness. There's unlimited nectar at every minute. It's a matter of connecting with Krishna, even at your job. You see. As Prabhupada told us that first meeting I had with him, he said, you're drinking water once, twice, thrice every day. More than that, even. He said, if every time you drink water, you remember Krishna is the taste of the water, immediately you become Krishna conscious. So how many times do you take a drink of water at work? It's a time to fill up your tank with Krishna bhakti every time you drink some water, you see. Meditate on Krishna. This is Krishna. Oh, Krishna. So wonderful. Krishna, Krishna. I see. That reminds me. In this way, if you can remember Krishna while you're drinking water at the office, you know. Your secret transcendental meditation, the office, drinking water, you know. You get high on the water just by and meditating that it's Krishna, you know. You get high on the water. Intoxicated on the water. So there's so many ways. We had to get back to the simple. See, the trouble is we get too sophisticated. That's the problem. We have to learn how to extract Krishna in the very simple ways. It's like my first experience with Krishna consciousness. Even before I met the devotees, I didn't even really know about the movement yet, but I had found a Gita. It wasn't even Prabhupada, but the one verse that I tuned in on happened to be correctly translated by Krishna's mercy. If you will offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, food, or water, I will accept it. And I was just amazed. I was absolutely astounded that you could offer something to God and He would accept it personally from you. So I started doing that. And it was such had a deep impact on my consciousness. I had come home, I was selling handkerchiefs in the men's department at some downtown Denver department store. Not exactly a transcendental engagement. And then walking home, I remember I would walk home in the cold Denver December evenings. It was like 20 blocks. It was a long one. But I would come back, but I had my Radha Govinda poster there, and I would light a candle and light some incense, and I'd make some nice little offering, vegetarian foodstuffs, and I'd offer that. And it was just amazing. That simple little thing of offering the food and chanting Hare Krishna. I felt like it was mystical. I was in another dimension. It was so wonderful. So we can just get back to the simple things. And how you, when you offer the food, we do it all the time, it's just routine. Well, let's get the offering over with so we can eat. You know what I mean? We're cheating ourselves when we do that. We have to learn to do everything. The point is, we have to learn how to do everything in a meditative way. When I chant my japa, when I offer the food, in that meditative, deeply absorbed sort of consciousness, that's how we have to do our service, our devotional activities every day. And if we do that, we'll be plugged into the nectar. That's about it. Is there anything else? Everyone's totally satisfied. It'd be good for me to get a little early rest. I'm trying to overcome some pneumonia right now, and I'm feeling a little on the weak side. Of course, as soon as I talk the philosophy, I forget about the damn body, but, you know, still have to deal with it, so we can have a bit of a drive and to get up at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. So we can stop here and then move on to the next part of the program. And we thank you all so much for coming tonight. It's been really delightful being here with all of you so far, because we have more delights lying ahead. But I just wanted to thank you all for being here, and being here for Prabhupada, being here for Krishna, and being here for each other, you see. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Shankarshan Gurudev ki.